Welcome to the Rockin' Coaster Podcast, presented by First Paw Media. Whether your favorite is a Giga, a Steel Dive, or old Woody roller coasters are your thing, or you're a fan of classic rock, hard rock, or grunge, we talk about it here. Each summer, Robert and Michelle Forteau travel the country in search of the best roller coasters and music festivals. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert, and we are here in Seattle at Lumen Field for day two of Metallica. I am here with Michelle. Michelle, how's it going today?
It's going great. Another beautiful day in Seattle.
So let's set this up a little bit. We bought these tickets right about the time we did our last podcast for this feed in Phoenix. So it's been exactly a year since we saw Metallica. Let's set it up. Tell us a little bit about where we're at and why we're here.
We are at Lumen Field, which is the home of the Seattle Seahawks. It's a great stadium. It's a intimate stadium, in my opinion. And what I mean by that is you definitely do not feel like you're in one of those bigger football stadiums. Lumen Field was designed to make it feel like the fan was immersed with what was going on in the field. And what that does with a show like what Metallica puts on for arenas, it makes you feel like you're really in it.
Yeah, this is home of the 12th man, and they say that for a reason, because it is very loud here during football season, and it can be very loud here for a concert as well. So night one was on Friday, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But these guys have been on tour for well over a year. This is their last U.S. stop. They have two more weekends in Mexico City. So we've been waiting for this for a while. When we were in Phoenix a year ago this weekend, we saw night one, the Friday night concert, and then, unfortunately, James Hetfield got COVID, and they canceled night two. So we've been waiting a while for this, haven't we?
Absolutely. We've been waiting a while for this. And not only that, but tonight we get to see Five Finger in an arena setup instead of just like at a festival setup, which I'm looking forward to because they ducked out last year as well.
So the way that these guys do this over these two nights, it's been going on for a while, this setup. I know they did it like this at Louder Than Life and then at Aftershock a couple of years ago when we saw them. They're calling it the No Repeat Weekend, and we're going to talk a little bit about the set list in a second. But I think that's pretty cool. Even though they play the hits, they are not playing the same thing twice, right?
That's right. And I got to tell you, since Louder Than Life, when they started the No Repeat, what is that, 3 or 4 years ago? We haven't heard a repeat yet.
So night one started off with Mammoth Van Halen. It's Wolfgang Van Halen's band. And then after that was Pantera. Let's talk about Mammoth a little bit. What do you think?
I like Mammoth. I think they're a great band. I think they're going to go far and do well. They're a great opening band, but I think he can stand on his own as well.
Yeah, for sure. They only played about 30 minutes, and sound was a little off for them, and that's typical for the opening bands. They just don't have all the bells and whistles as the big boys. But it was fun. He definitely played up the stage a little bit. A couple of great musicians in his band for sure. But there are some feelings of Van Halen nostalgia with his guitar playing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a lot of fun to hear his dad come out through his music while you see his mom on his smiling face.
So after that, it was a pretty quick turnaround in terms of the stage setup. And then we saw Pantera. We did get a chance to see both of those bands on that Friday night show last year. I know you're not a huge fan of Pantera, but what do you think?
I think Pantera puts on a great live show, and that's the only reason why I enjoy them is because he does put on a good live show, but it's not something I'm going to flip to when I'm in the mood for some hard rock.
Well, they are playing in their new setup with a couple of new guys that since they lost the brothers there several years ago. They got Zakk Wylde playing on guitar, one of my favorite guitarists, and they've got the drummer from Anthrax, so it's a little bit of an interesting setup, but I do like Zakk. What do you?
Yeah, He's Zach's something to watch. You know, he's one of those humans that is phenomenal just to see.
And like you said during the show, you said that he pretty much never stops playing. As soon as he starts the show, he pretty much goes on the entire time, doesn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely does.
So pretty quick turnaround from Pantera to Metallica. They started right on cue at about 8:50 with their typical setup with the lead-in song from AC/DC and the Western movie. I cannot think of it. What is it called? The Quick and the Dead?
It's one of the Clint Eastwood classics.
You know, a lot of people, you were saying this at the show, I think a lot of people have never seen that movie in full, and they think it was just something produced by Metallica.
Yeah, I did say that.
So let's talk about the Metallica show. Tell us a little bit about where we're seating. Tell us about the setup, our view, all of that.
Well, we scored seats in section 149, pretty much dead center. You can't say center stage because Metallica's stage is set up to be round so that everybody in the arena can get some viewing. And, you know, that's part of their trademark for the last few years for sure. Lars, his drum kit doesn't move around, but that's the illusion. He's got four drum kits set up, and they pop up from underneath the stage on four different axes of the stage. But, you know, section 149 at Lumen Field is basically right behind the field goal. And so we've got great seats there, good sound. And it's just a lot of fun.
So they kicked it off with Creeping Death and then Harvester of Sorrow and then Leper Messiah. Three really heavy songs right off the bat. And Leper Messiah was one that you were not familiar with, right?
Yeah, Leper Messiah is one that I dig, but I never can remember the lyrics to that one or the name of that one.
So they also played three or four songs off of their 72 Seasons CD or album, and that's pretty unusual. As Dee Snider says from Twisted Sister, most people come for the hits. And
Give
the crowd what they want, and you could see that a little bit. There wasn't a lot of people standing up and really rocking out to those newer songs.
I don't know. I gotta tell you, I think that might be, and I hate to say it, I think it might be a generational gap thing.
So right after Leper Messiah, they played one of your favorite songs, King Nothing.
Yeah. Dig that song every single time. They don't play it often. And they also played my signature song.
Which is?
Blackened.
Yeah. James always says that Sad But True is the heaviest song that they play. He says every time when they started off, he goes, Metallica family, you guys wanted a heavy. We will give you heavy. And then they kick right in to Sad But True. But I would have to say that Blackened is probably their heaviest song.
Yeah, I agree.
So, after those, they played Orion, which is one of my favorite, probably because it's really old school, no lyrics at all, definitely the bass-centric set list this time. Nothing Else Matters, a very cool intro guitar solo by Kirk, and then Sad But True, Blackened, and then probably your favorite song in the Metallica catalog is Fuel.
It's one of my favorites, yes.
Why is it one of
several favorites? And I like to be able to say that I don't have just the radio play favorites.
So why do you like that one? And I know you told me a little story during the show about our sled dogs. Tell us that.
I know that one without the music and without the lyrics. I know that one by heart, in tempo, and I sing it to my sled dogs when I'm doing fall training.
So right after Fuel, that was sort of the end of the show. They had about 30 minutes or so left on their hard curfew at 11 o'clock here in Seattle. And then they played Seek and Destroy and Master of Puppets. And of course, they released all of the Beach Balls. That's always fun, isn't it?
It is. But I got to tell you, Robert, for last night's or Friday night's show, I think my favorite was when Kurt and Robert did their doodle.
What did they call it? Killer Orca?
Orca Attack.
Orca Attack. One of the things that they said that they do every Friday night on this tour is Kirk and Robert sit down and create a special song for that set. And they didn't have any lyrics for it whatsoever. And then after the show, after the song, I thought it was pretty cool because Robert said, "I'm glad that's over because I was a little bit nervous."
Yeah.
So that was it. An excellent first night. And then Tuesday, as I said, this is definitely a cool way to do a tour. They truly take over the city. They have pop-ups all over the place. They have all these other events going on. They have film festivals and liquor bottle signings and all of that. But they also have some smaller bands playing at a local bar here in town. They played at the legendary Crocodile Bar, and we got a chance to see three pretty cool bands. I cannot think right off the top the name of the band. The first band, they were a local Seattle band that started off. So apologies, we don't know who it was, but Michelle, what do you think about that first band of that little show?
That first band was fucking psycho, Robert. They were there to put on a good show, get that party started, bring the energy up, and that's exactly what those kids did.
And interestingly enough, it was a three-piece band, and the guitarist had in one of those cochlear implants. So I assume that he was hard of hearing or deaf. What do you think?
I'm not sure. I don't know that we should make that assumption, but I think we saw something definitely, on his head, but that's fine. He was great.
So the next band was who I was really aiming to see, and that was the band Otto. We saw those guys last year on that bridge night of the concert. Otto is a band that was formed by Robert Trujillo's son, Trey Trujillo. He plays bass, and my goodness, can that guy play?
Yeah, he can play. They were phenomenal. You could definitely see the upswing in what experience has brought them by traveling on the road. But I got to tell you, Robert, we didn't get to see Bastardane before, and wow, wow.
Let's talk a little bit about Otto first. Trey Trujillo started playing at a very young age. He went on tour with Korn back in 2017, I think it was, when he was 12 years old. So he was playing big-time stadiums way back then, just as a preteen. Can you imagine playing in front of 50 or 60, 70,000 people at that age? My goodness.
Yeah. He zones out, though.
He does. They have a brand new singer with their band. He just came on board this year, but they've really improved.
They really, because of that singer, I got to interrupt you. That singer has brought them into a different fold. They definitely sounded less heavy and more punk.
I really liked it. By far, one of my favorite smaller bands. And we just to tie things together from another show we saw this year, I was really anxious to see a show, a band called Gunshine, when we went to a festival in Minnesota back in July. I was so pumped to see this new band, Gunshine. You know, they were doing all kinds of stuff on social. Sounded really cool. I have their CD on the Apple Music and all of that. But Otto just sort of blows that band Gunshine out of the water, don't they?
Tenfold.
So a new band, at least to us, is a band called Bastardane, and that is led by James Hetfield's son. His name is Caster, and he plays drums on that band. It's a four-piece band, and it's a three-piece band as well. Guitarist, bassist, and drummer. Set those guys up for us. We had no idea what to expect.
Was it Ethan
Zaworski, I think is his name?
Yeah. My God, that kid's going to go far. But, you know, Caster, you know, it was a lot of fun because we're old and we're parents, and we definitely could hear his dad in his voice a little bit, but he definitely has a more raw sense of humor.
Yeah, if you closed your eyes on the opening song, you would swear that you were listening to James Hetfield on Kill 'Em All, the exact same voice. I swear to God it was him, didn't you?
Yeah, 1980.
So also there, in the background, in the shadows, if you will, was a very proud papa, James. He was over by the soundboard. Tell us a bit about what James was doing during the show.
You know, he was enjoying himself, having a good time, and it's always nice to see fellow parents show up for their kids, enjoy their kids. But I got to tell you, he was doing some air drumming. That's not what got me. What got me and gave me the goosebumps was when he was doing air guitar with Ethan.
Yeah, it was very cool show. Interestingly enough, though, it kicked off at 5:30 in the afternoon.
A bunch of us old people were in bed by 9.
Yeah, I was telling Michelle before we went in, I said, you know, when we played in our band, I was in a band for many years in college. I don't think I ever hit the stage unless it was at some type of festival or something at 5:30 in the afternoon. But those guys, all three bands, were done before 9:30, and we were back in the hotel before 10 o'clock. Like Michelle said, we had plenty of time to watch a football game before we went to bed in the hotel room, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. It was actually pretty perfect.
So here we are getting ready to enter the gates for night two of the show. Looking forward to it. There's a lot of people here right now. The lines for the merch stand is all the way around.
Yeah, it's a quarter mile.
It's all the way around the block. They got people lining up for gates that open at 4 o'clock. The first band hits the stage at 6, and that is Ice Nine Kills. And then at around 7:30, 7:45 or so will be Five Finger Death Punch. And then 8:45 will be Metallica. And then I hope that they have a set list as good as they do last night. So Metallica will always finish with what they do on every concert that they do, and that is Enter Sandman. That is the proverbial end of the show song, sort of like Foo Fighters.
Lay me down to sleep.
Yeah, sort of like Foo Fighters with Everlong. I know that was one of your favorites, and I know you have a quick story about you and the kids with that song. Tell us about it.
Enter the Sandman is the lullaby I sung to my kids.
Very interesting. What is another lullaby? I can't think of one that my mom would sing to me, but what is your typical parent lullaby?
The cradle song in the tree when the bough breaks. Yeah. I was cool mom. I sung Metallica.
Okay, guys. So that is our show for the bridge day of Metallica. We will do another quick episode when we get home next week to talk about our overall impressions for the M72 tour. I was saying that these guys are getting a little bit old. I wonder if they have another tour in them. I hope that they do. It was very interesting to see. James always asks how many people are new to...
As long as there's whiskey houses, there will be room for Metallica to do concerts.
So it's interesting because James always asks how many new people do we have to the Metallica family. And I could not believe how many people raised their hands.
Probably 70... or more of the stadium.
Okay, so Michelle, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I know I did not give you any forewarning to this question, but I'm going to ask. You said it is a no-repeat weekend, so they cannot play any song that they played last night, any song whatsoever. What song do you think that they're going to kick off with tonight?
I would hope possibly For Whom the Bell Tolls. Unforgiven has a place in my heart. They never play it. I mean, I don't know, Robert. That's tough. That's a tough one. Maybe Battery?
I am going with Battery. I am going to say that they're going to kick off tonight with Battery. If I recall, when we saw them a couple of times ago, that was the song that they...
I would say they play Lux Aeterna tonight, too.
Yeah, I would say that they play that one as well. But we're going with Battery, so we'll let you guys know in the follow-up show. So with that, be sure to follow us on our socials. We are Rockin' Coasters Podcast. I'm Robert.
I'm Michelle.
We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.